Paul wrote to the Corinthian church about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. There were some there in Corinth who, with the Greek philosophers and that kind of a background, sort of ridiculed the whole idea of resurrection. You remember that when Paul was in Athens, there on Mars Hill, and he was talking to the Epicurean philosophers, as he was sharing with them, he then made mention of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, at which time it sort of brought an end to the discourse, because the Greek philosophers, as Paul said, the cross of Christ is to them foolishness. The idea of a resurrection from the dead was foolishness. This sort of prevailed in the Greek thought and culture. And thus, some of those in Corinth were ridiculing the idea of a resurrection from the dead. And so Paul, as he writes to the Corinthians in chapter 15, affirms again the gospel that he preached. It was that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, but he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Then Paul went on to establish the arguments in favor of the resurrection. He said, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how is it that some of you are saying that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if there is no resurrection. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain. You are still in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." And so Paul makes his arguments for the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Basically, if there is no resurrection, there is no gospel. You see, the heart of the gospel message is that Jesus rose from the dead. That gave meaning to his death upon the cross. If there was no resurrection from the dead, then there is no meaning to the death on the cross. And thus, because that is the gospel that Paul preached, he said, "If Christ isn't risen, then our preaching is vain." Think of all of the messages through the centuries that have been preached and have inspired people to turn from their empty, self-centered lives to a rich, full life in Jesus Christ. Inspired them to give up the life of self, and to go out and to share the message of God's love with a lost and a dying world. All of the glorious missionary sagas of which we have read, those that have gone to the uttermost parts of the earth, to hostile environments, to bring to those people the love of Jesus Christ, all of that's in vain if there is no resurrection of the dead. Think of the preaching of the gospel that has brought faith, that has brought hope, that has brought people into a new dimension of love. All of that is futile if there is no resurrection of the dead. Not only is our preaching vain, Paul said our faith also is vain. Think of the millions of people who have come to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They've come to believe that his death atoned for their sins. They've come to have a hope of eternal life. They've been able to face death with great courage, because they realized that death was not the end, but it was only a means by which I enter into the eternal kingdom of God. Think of the people that have entrusted their lives to Jesus Christ. The millions who actually gave their lives for Jesus Christ. It is estimated that during the time of the Roman Empire, as many as 6 million Christians were put to death because of their faith. Even to the present day, missionaries are being put to death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. In the past year, in Iran, has seen missionaries put to death. In India, there's been quite a bit of violence in the last year against the missionaries that are there. But they are willing to go out. They are willing to sacrifice their lives because of the message of the resurrection. Jesus is Lord. He is the Savior. And by believing in him, men will not perish, but they can have eternal life. Such a glorious message that men are willing to sacrifice their lives in order to share that with those who have never heard. But if Jesus isn't risen from the dead, all of those sacrifices and all of those deaths were in vain, for our faith is vain. But if Jesus isn't risen from the dead, it means that we are still in our sins. Now, we have come actually to a place of great relief in our believing that Jesus bore our sins for us. The Bible declares that God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. The Bible tells us that God laid on him the iniquities of us all. And you can probably, each of you, remember that day when you received the gospel. When you received the fact that Jesus bore your sins and took your place and died for you. And to realize that there was now no condemnation because you were in Christ Jesus. That the guilt of your sin was passed over unto him, and God sees you today justified through your faith in Jesus Christ. And what a relief it was to that conscience that was ridden by guilt to realize that God had wiped out, forgiven the past sins. And they were never to be remembered again, that you stood before God innocent, sinless. And oh, what joy, what a relief to realize that Jesus had taken my guilt and had died in my place. That's all in vain. If Jesus isn't risen from the dead, I'm still guilty. the sins are still there. And I will have to answer for them. Paul said, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, then those who have died in faith in Christ have actually perished. It's all over. You know, it is an interesting thing that at death, we don't want it to be over, do we? Someone who has meant so much to us, who has given to us so much love, so much positive input. When we die, we don't want to think of them as perished, as gone forever. We want to think of them as living still in another dimension, yes, in another sphere, but going on and living still. The thought of them being perished would, of course, make our grief and sorrow at their passing so much greater. If there wasn't that hope that we're going to see them again, that we'll be united with them in the glorious kingdom of God. How many times have we stood by the bedside of one who was passing into eternity? As we spoke to them about God's love and the plan of God for the future, the glories of God's heavenly kingdom, the beauties of our Lord that they will soon be seeing face to face. And as we stood by them, comforting them with that hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, we saw the smile on their face as they breathed their last breath and entered into the kingdom of heaven. But if Christ isn't risen from the dead, then they've perished, and death is the end. The greatest enemy of all. How many times we've stood with those who have lost a loved one, and we have found comfort and strength with the knowledge that they are with the Lord. And it gives us the ability to face the grief and the sorrow, knowing that they are there in the presence of the Lord rejoicing. And we have brought comfort, we've brought hope because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But if he didn't rise from the dead, all of our words of comfort were lies. There is no hope. They that have died have perished. If there is no resurrection, then life is completely unfair. Wicked people who have done horrible things and were not apprehended by the law have actually gotten by with their wickedness. Evil men have lived their lives in rebellion against God and everything that is righteous and pure and holy. And yet, they won't have to pay the penalty for their wickedness. There are some good people who have suffered tremendously in life, and yet they are the salt of the earth. Their sufferings have brought out a depth of character that is unparalleled by anyone who has not experienced the same degree of suffering. They lived in hope of the resurrection, of the new body, and how that one day things will all be equalized. But if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then there is no justice. Life is unfair. Evil has triumphed over good. Why should we even try to stop the flow of evil in the world today? Why even have a judicial system? Who is to tell us what is good and what is wrong? If Christ isn't risen from the dead, why should we even care? Life is not worthwhile if Christ isn't risen from the dead. No wonder people turn to drugs, turn to alcoholism, because life is not worthwhile if Jesus isn't risen from the dead. But Paul went on to affirm, but now is Christ risen from the dead. What does that mean? That means that our preaching is not in vain. God is merciful, and God will forgive your sins. And God is calling you to love him and to love your neighbor. It means our faith is not in vain. Our belief in Jesus as our Lord and Savior is confirmed. It does pay to serve the Lord and to live a better life. It means that we are no longer in our sins, that God has forgiven us. We've been cleansed. We've been washed. Your record has been erased. And you stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You've been forgiven. It means that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. It means that those who have died in faith are now there in the presence of the Lord. And the scripture tells us that in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The scripture tells us that there is no pain, there is no suffering, there is no sorrow, for the former things are passed away and everything becomes new. It means that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. It means that for the believer, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. As Paul, writing to the Philippians, said, I find myself with mixed emotions because I have a desire to depart from this body that I might be with Christ, which is far better. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It means that it does pay to live a righteous life. For there is coming a day when men will be judged out of the books that God has been keeping. And all of those who have rejected Jesus Christ because they wanted to live a life of sinfulness, they will be cast into hell, separated forever from God's love. The Bible, all the way through, speaks of that day of judgment that is coming for all men. The psalmist wrote about it in Psalm 90. He said, you have set our iniquities before thee and our secret sins in the light of your countenance. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or if it is evil. The prophet Jeremiah wrote, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. God said, you can be sure your sins will find you out. But there is no fear of judgment because Jesus took our judgment. He took the penalty that was due to us. He died for that very purpose, to take the penalty for your sin, that he might give to you eternal life, the hope of eternal life. More than a hope. Peter wrote, thank God we've been born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It sort of puts the seal on all he did and all he said. The seal of God's approval in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And thus today, as we leave this place and go our separate ways, we each of us who have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior go with joy, go with exhilaration, go with the confidence that to be absent from this body will only mean that we are present with the Lord. And in the endless ages to come, he will be revealing to us the exceeding riches of his love and mercy and grace towards us through Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ assures you of eternal life. It makes your hope more than just hope. It's a living hope. Father, we thank you for that living hope that we have through Jesus Christ and through his resurrection. And now, Lord, as we celebrate together this day, we ask your blessing upon your people. Draw us close to you. Lord, we pray that we'll not lose the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus. As we join with our families and have our various celebrations, may Jesus be at the heart and the center of our times sharing together. And may there be that constant, continual rejoicing together for the living hope by his resurrection from the dead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord be with you, give you a beautiful day. God bless you, watch over and keep you in his love and in his grace.